Welcome to hour number two of the Interdit Advisor. Hi, I'm Foster Brown, co-host of the program, along with Gary Baker and Ed Rudell today. We're going to be handling your questions. That's why we consider this probably the most important part of the program, because that's where we tackle the questions that you've sent us by email. And by the way, the way to do that is to simply go to our site, internetadvisor.net, hit the Contact Us button, put your problem in there, and then send it on its way to us. We'll do our very best to answer that. Coming up next. Well, once again, thank you for being with us here for the second hour of our program. That's one where we tackle the questions that you send to us by email. While we're preempted in our home station, WJR in Detroit, by MSU football, as it happens to be right now, and some of the other sports as well, we still keep our lines of communication open with you so that you can call us, pardon me, you can get in touch with us by sending us an email. And you do that by going to internetadvisor.net, clicking on the Contact Us button, and there you can very simply put your question in there. Give us a little background, by the way, on the basis for the question, like, you know, what operating system you're using, whether it's a laptop or a desktop, that basic kind of things like that, and then ask your questions. And then people like Mr. Ed Rudell, who's in studio here, will tackle them. And you've been handling a lot this week, I saw.
Yeah, there were quite a few, and there were some good ones, because sometimes the people don't provide enough information, as you said. So it's really helpful if I know what version of Windows, if it's a laptop or desktop, that's very helpful.
Yep, and we got some great questions this week. By the way, we say this all the time, we really mean it. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Sometimes even the simplest questions that you ask are really great, because there's a lot of people out there who have those questions, and they're kind of saying, well, gee, I don't know. It's not very complicated, but it can be of a great help to a lot of people. We got one question today we'll get to in a little bit,
okay.
Which was really kind of neat. Like, the guy says, how do I know how old my computer is?
that was a really great question,
because often we have like secondhand computers or whatever. It helps to know.
And I never really thought about that either. And because sometimes I always do the same thing. When someone tells me that they have a computer, one of the first things I'll do, and I'll reveal it a little later, is look up what the age is.
Yep.
And that's interesting.
There's a sneaky way of doing it. Ed's got that. By the way, this week, Eddie, has been a week for updates for me. And kind of interesting. Have you, by the way, installed Windows 10 yet, that preview?
No. No, I haven't.
I hope you do, because it's a fascinating. It works really well. I'm talking, by the way, about the Windows 10 preview.
Yes.
Absolutely free.
Yep. And what you had done is you had installed the update on your existing Windows 8 system, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay. And what I was thinking about doing, because I found a Windows Secrets, which is an excellent weekly article that I received.
Great magazine.
And they made it a description on how to download the update and put it on a flash drive and make a live flash drive or a live CD.
A bootable
flash drive that had the Windows operating system on there.
Oh, very good.
So without me having to, you know, possibly ruin my existing system where I got it just the way I want it.
Yep.
And I don't want to have to deal with downgrading later on.
Although I have to say, Ed, that I put, you know, I'm using, thanks to the folks at Microsoft, I've been using this Surface Pro 2. And so I figured, hey, I'll just go for it. And I downloaded it on it. And I have found, a matter of fact, not only no problems, but a lot of benefits that come from the new Windows 10. And there have been a lot of improvements on it. Still some problems, but the idea behind Windows 10, folks, if you ever decide to download it, by the way, a million people have done that so far. And they say, you know, this is not for the faint of heart. And Ed, you're right. It probably would be wise if your machine is the only one you have and it's running Windows 8.1, which is the latest version of Windows 8, it probably would be best not to put it on there, although putting it onto a bootable thumb drive is a great idea. Running in a virtual machine would be another way of doing it.
Right.
So it doesn't, you know, clobber your whole machine. But in my case, I deliberately did it because I wanted to gamble on that, see how that worked. It has worked marvelously. Now, I said there's some things about Windows 10, and I hope, by the way, to do a program maybe in the next couple of weeks. We'll see if we can get some of the folks from Microsoft in to talk about it as well. Yeah. But talk about what I'm finding with it.
Yeah, have they ever come up with a release date besides, is it going to be in 2015?
2015, I think it is right now, yeah. Matter of fact, I'm running what's called the second build. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's not just updates. This is a complete rebuild, and so it doesn't look much different from the first Windows 10, but There are some, definitely some improvements in it, different things that they've tweaked in it. It's definitely beta. Matter of fact, they want to hear from you.
Yeah.
And they have had 250,000 roughly responses of people writing in and saying things like I did, for instance, like you've got to get the toolbars
yes.
better on this thing. Because right now they're just this little dot, 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 you know, at the top corner. You've got to do a better job on that. So, but they're listening.
Yes.
And one of the things we've seen with the new Microsoft is they listen and they really do.
I understand they're going to eliminate the charms too.
Yes. Yes.
Thank goodness.
Yeah,
they're practically useless. It just didn't take off. And to me, it's annoyance. Every time I swipe my touchpad or my glide yeah. mouse, every time I swipe from right to left when I'm just wanting to, you know, sometimes,
yeah, right.
you know, it's like moving your finger across the page when you're reading. Sometimes I do that with the mouse arrow when I'm reading an article.
Yeah, yeah.
I know it's completely ridiculous, but I do that. And sometimes when I'm swiping right to left, the damn charms comes up every single time and I want to disable it.
Well, so. The nice thing is that, yeah, you won't find that. The other thing too, by the way, if you're using Windows 8 right now, is that you know how you have to swipe in from the left
yes.
in order to get the list of windows that are open
yep. Yep.
and then you have to pick one of those windows and you have to kind of cock it in order to...
You were describing that to me. It's quite a cumbersome process.
It's all gone. It's all gone now.
It,
so when you swipe in from the left, yep. you get a thumbnail of all the windows that are open, and you can just click them and kill them at that point or switch to another one.
Sort of like Windows 7. That's good.
Exactly. They've gone back to some of the things that work really well in Windows 7 Excellent. As well. Hey, folks, we're going to come back in just a moment, and when we do, we're going to start handling some of the questions that you've thrown at us this week here on the Internet Advisor. Thank you again for being here with us, and thanks to the folks behind the glass, as they say. Annie Nichols, our lady of the telephones, who is answering the phones right now and bringing some of our guests on. And Mike, thank you very much for being behind us, the engineer today. Lots of people helping us get this program on the road. And by the way, again, very quickly, if you have a question you would like to have answered, you can simply send us an email at internetadvisor.net. Go to the Contact Us button and put your question in there, as did one of our listeners who was with us right now. And welcome to Andre Massa. Andre, thank you very much for joining us here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Delighted to have you on with us. The question that you posed to us is kind of an interesting one. You said you're using Windows 7 for the past couple of weeks, and you have a message that appears on certain websites that says, "This page can't be displayed." Now, one of those websites is LinkedIn.com. I use LinkedIn myself as well. And it says, like, you can access the website with Google Chrome, and you think the problem may be due to a Windows update. So your
yes,
question...
I've been using Windows 7 for a couple of years, but I noticed that probably after I had the last group of updates, maybe 10 or something, like quite mm-hmm. a few updates, and just I noticed that some websites... I couldn't get to.
Okay.
And I tried everything. I deleted some of the updates and it didn't help. So mm-hmm. After a while, I started to just look at some of the settings. So I stumbled on. I went to the advanced settings in the Explorer,
mm-hmm.
and I checked SSL 2, 3. TLS 1.0, 1.1, and 1.2,
mm-hmm.
and that fixed the problem.
Oh, God, that's interesting. So you found that, and Foster and I were just talking about this.
Yeah.
So basically, you had to enable all those different security encryption protocols in order for you to log into certain websites.
Yes.
And possibly a Microsoft update that was applied to your system disabled some of those backsliding or backwards compatible, older versions of yeah. SSL encryption. So that's interesting because so none of my suggestions worked and you figured it out yourself. No, that's wonderful.
That's wonderful. Matter of fact, congratulations to you because you've helped a number of other people who may be having the same kind of problem. I would have guessed immediately, Ed, when Andre told us this, that it was a virus that had hijacked the toolbar, but it wasn't.
I would have thought that. I would have thought it would have been pop-ups.
Yep.
Maybe you have to re-enable
yep.
pop-ups. And
I know that I don't go to too many websites, and I suspected one of the settings, but I didn't know what my settings were before, and
right,
I was reluctant to change anything, but it was just irritating me to a point.
Oh, certainly.
I'm going to try Andre, go back to what I had before if it didn't work.
Yeah, because I think one of the other things I suggested is possibly using, making sure Java was loaded properly. Do you recall what I said on the email to possibly try?
I did not receive the email.
Really?
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. I apologize for that. But I'm glad you figured it out yourself. And for those listeners that don't know, you have the different secure advanced features in Internet Explorer. You have TLS, which is a more modern version of whenever you go to a site that says HTTPS, it's right. A secured site.
Right.
It uses the TLS encryption between your workstation or your PC and that website to encrypt the data between the two sites.
Right.
And it also encrypts your password and username.
Right.
And when Andre was selected SSL3, SSL2, SSL1, what he was doing was enabling older versions of the encryption because possibly the website he was going to was having difficulties with the newer versions.
Now, Andre, where did you find those settings for the rest of the listeners? Where did you go to find that?
I went to the Internet Options, Advanced Settings.
Okay, now this is on Internet Explorer?
Yes.
Okay. And so you went into the Advanced Settings on that,
mm-hmm.
and then where did you go in there?
And it's listed a whole bunch of these.
Yeah, it's under the security section.
Okay.
Yes, under the security section, they were already listed. They were not checked.
Okay, that's it. Okay.
Okay,
very good.
Now, the one thing I want to make sure is that you have good antivirus software on there and that you've scanned your computer for malicious software using a software that we recommend called Malwarebytes. So have you scanned your computer for viruses recently, or are you sure you have?
I use a McAfee, and I scan them regularly.
Okay, that's good. I would recommend downloading and installing the Malwarebytes to scan.
It won't compete with McAfee, by the way.
Yeah,
it's not an antivirus program.
Now, when you install it, it's going to ask, do you wish to enable the last page during the setup process? Is do you wish to enable the 30-day trial? That's up to you, because it's going to nag you in 25 days. Do you wish to purchase this for $30 or $25? I always unselect it because Malwarebytes is not a real-time protection program. Right. I don't use it. I use it. I mean, I wish I
you
purchased
could.
It. You could.
I think if you purchase it, it becomes a real-time if you want to do that.
Right. But if you want to do a one-time scan and forget about it, use Malwarebytes to scan your computer, and then the next time when you exit the program, it's not running in the background anymore.
Right,
it's not
right,
trying to provide exactly. real-time protection. And it'll scan for software that malware or McAfee will not find. And the reason why I want to give you that caution is something that came up in the news 2 weeks ago called Poodle.
Oh.
Which is exactly what you're describing. I don't think, or I have not read, that there is a live or a real version of a virus that takes advantage of Poodle. But what Poodle is
it's not just a dog.
Yeah. No, it is not. What it is basically, it's been in the news the last couple of weeks, and it is a vulnerability within SSL 3, 2, and 1.
Which are, by the way, the older security settings.
Correct. And TLS, which is the more modern version, right. TLS 2 and TLS 1, have been around for about 10 years. And all web browsers should use that as the preferred encryption between your PC and the website. What the Poodle virus does is it disables those or forces the PC to use SSL 3 or SSL 2, which is what yours is, and you found those, so that... because those SSL 3 and SSL 2, those can be hacked. You know,
right,
they've been around long enough where people can actually, giving a little time, discern usernames, passwords, and the type of information that's being transmitted between the host and the client.
So bottom line here is that these are security settings, folks, that Andre wisely was able to find, and congratulations to you, Andre, on doing that.
And he enabled those because more than likely there may have been a Microsoft update that disabled those for Internet Explorer so that Microsoft would not be susceptible to this this
this particular exploit.
Right.
So congratulations on that. We should have some sort of a prize that we would send you for this.
thank you for the congratulations, and thanks for the help.
Oh, yes. And, well, you have now helped a lot of other people as well, and this is why we enjoy having people like yourself on, who have we've often worked with, but who themselves have been able to kind of suss this type of thing out. Have you been using computers for a long time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's quite a long time, but I don't use it for games and things like that. I just use it to use it.
Well, no, that's quite all right.
No, we all develop our rituals. Check your email, check your favorite news sites. I go to Imgur and look at funny images of the day's posting. I showed one today of Foster, and we'll talk about it a little later, about USB flash drives now shipping in the mail as paper. And they're actually part of the tear-off on the envelope.
Yeah. Andre, hey, I want to thank you very much again for being bold enough to take that kind of a step and also for sharing it with us here on the Internet Advisor. Thanks so much, Andre.
You're welcome. Thank
you. All right. That's excellent. A great way that a listener helps a lot of other ones. Eddie, you've got to talk about that USB. We'll do that when we come back. Folks, this is fascinating. It's actually a USB drive that has been printed onto the side of a package. You got to hear the story, and we'll also put the link to it on our program as well on our website. You're listening to the Internet Advisor. My name is Foster Brown. Ed Rudell is in the house here helping to solve some questions, and we've got some more coming up that you presented to us this week, and we'll be talking with some other listeners as well. Welcome back. It's the Internet Advisor, hour number two, Foster Brown and Ed Rudell in studio here handling your questions, and thank you so much for sending them in to us. We faithfully take a look at those, and each one of the guys, with their particular expertise, take a crack at answering them. Ed Rudell, very often, is the person who is answering the questions recently. And Eddie, you had something that you saw today, and we'll try to post this as well, folks, on the site, that is absolutely fascinating, and that was new way of delivering a USB drive.
You know, leave it to the marketing people. Really. I mean, so you get a mailer in there, but what I saw was basically a paper flash drive, USB flash drive. And, imagine if when you look into a USB flash drive, how it has the metal shell and silver edge. Imagine a flash drive without that.
Okay, you just get the guts.
You just get the guts of it. And what they're doing is it's about 3/8 of an inch wide, and think of your paycheck and how you have the tear off tabs in your paycheck, and you have to rip three sides of it to define the gold glory of the minimum paycheck you got inside. Okay, well, think of a mailer where you receive, and it's like a cardboard version of that, and the bottom tab is actually cardboard that you tear off, but embedded in there you'll find four copper strips that if you bend and tear off, you can insert the copper strips into your computer, and it's a USB flash drive that loads a program.
Absolutely.
Advertisers are using for this, but colleges are using it for applications. You know, business schools are using it as well. So I saw this picture on Imgur, and I had to do some little research on it, and I'm like, leave it to the marketing people to think of stuff like that.
Literally, folks, you tear this off of the package, and then they give you instructions on how to fold it just right so that you can then insert this thing into one of your USB ports on your computer, and it has a form in there, I think.
It has a little program that brings up a form, and it may automatically take you to a website or, if it's a college application or whatever. What a wonderful idea.
Incredible, isn't it? Absolutely incredible. This week, by the way, I've been fascinated with some things in science, and one of the things, and we're trying to get these people on. There is a guy who has developed a hovercraft. And it's based on magnetic. Now, there's a hoax out there called Hover, H-U-V-R.
Yeah.
And it purports to have this hovercraft, and people are flying around all over the place.
Yeah, no.
It's a hoax.
You know, I
this
had one of those.
Isn't.
I had a, Popular Mechanics that showed me how to make one of those out of a vacuum cleaner.
Apparently, that one was like a stunt for Back to the Future 4. It's coming out.
Yes.
But this is a real. The guy has created a vehicle, a little one. It's like a prototype.
Yes.
That can hover magnetically. It hovers about 3/4 inch off of a metal surface. Now, I can only do it on a metal surface right now.
I was going to say, it's a metal surface.
But it's a proof of
concept.
Concept, yes. And he ships out this white box to people so that they can, and he's giving it, not giving it away, but he's saying, here, take this and try to adapt it in your particular technology, which I think is wonderful. Anyway, we're trying very hard to get him on because it is absolutely fascinating. Well, we have another one of our listeners with us right now, and that is Linda. Linda, welcome to the Internet Advisor.
Hi, I'm glad to be able to talk with you.
Thank you so much for being with us. And you had a question about a new Windows 8 computer, I understand.
Yes, it's really giving me fits.
It's giving you fits. All right. Well, tell us what one of the fits is, at least, and we'll see if we can help you.
Well, I actually figured this one out. What I had written to you about was installing the Avast from a thumb drive. And, you know, I was really afraid to even plug the thumb drive in because I didn't know what would happen on Windows 8. I didn't know where to look for it.
I know what you mean. Yes, yes, it is hard with Windows 8 to know exactly where it's going to show up.
So I'm anxious for any hints you can give me about how to make the whole process of going to my computer and finding the programs that I'm looking for.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is you're looking for the old File Explorer.
I am.
And that does exist. Now, Eddie, you're using Windows 8.1, am I right?
Yes, but not on the computer I have in front of me right now.
Okay, I'm using Windows 10, but I mean, I think it's the same thing. If you right-click, you know on the bottom left-hand side of your screen, there's like a window down there?
Yeah.
I think if you right-click on that, at least in Windows 10, I believe it's the same
thing.
You will. File Explorer. And you click on that File Explorer, and it will pop up then something that you'll recognize a lot better, which is it shows you your home, your favorites, this PC, and then it also shows you the devices that you have plugged in. Like, for instance, I have a small SD card. Help me, Ed.
Okay.
One of those little cards, little memory cards.
Yes.
In other words, I have that plugged in, and it's showing here. That's where your thumb drive would show up.
Right.
That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's interesting. So what you had done is you had downloaded it from another computer and copied Avast onto the thumb drives with the intention of installing on Windows 8.
And then the problem she was having, and by the way, folks, this is for if you're using Windows 8, this is a confusing thing because this is one of the problems that Microsoft has. If you've been using Windows 7, for instance, you'd look for the File Explorer.
Yes.
You know, you click on that and you would get the tree, in essence, that shows you where different things are.
Yep. And unfortunately, Windows 8.1, which was optimized for tablets, completely left behind laptop users. We'll adopt this for our laptops. And they completely abandoned an entire generation of users. Thus, Windows 10 is going to be coming out.
Yeah, they're doing better. Like, as I said, I just went in Windows 10 down to that bottom left-hand corner, and I think, Linda, you did the same thing there. And when you right-click on it, then the file manager comes up, and you can see then where that thumb drive is. Not so you were able to find it, though.
Yes.
Good.
And when I put the thumb drive in, I could see that.
Yep.
I don't remember now exactly how I saw it, but I finally got the guts to plug it in.
Oh, excellent.
I did find it. But this is exactly what I was looking for.
Good. Another thing,
Windows, I believe you can also hit the Windows key and the X key, which also brings up the similar menu. Isn't that correct, Foster?
Windows X.
Windows X.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That is a shortcut. You're very good, Ed. I hadn't forgotten that. There's a whole series, we posted this at one time.
Yeah. And
there's a whole series of shortcuts.
Yeah. And for some reason, I just think of XP because everyone loved XP, which is now gone. And this is my remembrance to Windows XP is Windows X. You know. So
yeah.
That's my shortcut key.
That's
a
good way to remember it. Okay. Great. Yes.
Another thing to do would be to see if you can find that web page. We'll try to find it.
All the shortcuts?
With all the shortcuts on it.
Yeah.
It's a great page, and essentially you can, get rid of a lot of these moves with these very simple, as Ed said, hitting the Windows key and then something else will do all sorts of things. It brings the charms up.
One of the things I use all the time is Windows L. In my work environment, Windows L locks my computer every time I step away from the computer. So instead of me doing Control-Alt-Delete and hitting lock, I hit Windows L. So, was there a second question that you had? Since we, I thought you said you figured this one out.
I figured this one out, but what I'm really looking for is those kind of hints. If there's information available.
Yep.
On how to make Windows 8 work for you.
Yep.
That's a very good point.
And what I was thinking of is the Paul Throttle website.
Oh, yes, super site for Windows, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that was it. And he has so much great information. Foster's going to look it up. So much great information on Windows 8, and for all those people that feel abandoned, that were on Windows 7 or Windows XP and jumped onto Windows 8, and they're like, now what do I do?
Exactly. We turned on the computer and looked at it. And said, okay, now what?
Yes. Yeah, now what do I do?
And what a lot of people have decided to do is to install a Windows shell, so that makes it look like Windows 7. And there are a couple free programs out there.
Yeah.
One of them is called, was it Classic Shell?
Yes.
Which allows you to, it basically makes it look just like Windows 7.
That's called Classic Shell.
Classic Shell, yes.
Okay.
And there's another program, and I cannot recall it right now. The cautionary note on that is that if you do not already have Windows 8.1, as an example, which was a major Microsoft release, and you'll be notified by your Windows Play Store that Microsoft has a major update to upgrade you from Windows 8 to 8.1.
You really should do that, but yeah, have you done that yet, Linda?
You should do that first. Before you do the Classic Shell, because if the Classic Shell is installed and you put 8.1 on there, it disables the Classic Shell.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Very good point, Ed. Yeah. Now, Linda, do you know if you've upgraded to Windows 8.1?
How would I know?
It would be in your updates. It would be in your updates, and you can find that out by going down to the, to the charms on the right-hand side, and it says PC settings. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things you can do is if you hit your Windows key will toggle you back and forth between the Windows 8 shell and what looks like a Windows desktop shell. So when you press your Windows key, it should do that. And then one of the things you could do is when you're into the Windows desktop shell, when you right mouse click on your start button on the left hand side, or what passes as a start button, you'll see a whole bunch of options that pop up.
Linda, I want you to hang on for a second, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, because I want to come back and I want to give you a few more tips on Windows 8, because I think it's going to help a lot of other people as well. You're listening to The Internet Advisor with Ed Riddell, Foster Brown here answering your questions in this hour number 2. Thank you so much for being with us here on The Internet Advisor this week, and delighted to be able to bring you our guests. And also, this part of our program, we've been answering questions from you folks out there. Matter of fact, one of you folks out there is still with us, and that's Linda. Thank you, Linda, for giving us a call here and for letting us step in and answer some of the questions and find out how you answered some of your questions as well. I wanted you to hang on, Linda, for just a little bit longer, because there are a couple of things I wanted to tell you about Windows 8. And one of them was, the question you asked was, how do I know what version of Windows 8 I have, right?
Yep, and I gave her some obscure method, and I thought of another one as soon as I found myself fumbling to describe the other one.
Okay, and then let's just kind of go through this quickly with you. If you go, for instance, now I'm going to erase my steps here and do them for you, kind of basic. If you go to that bottom left-hand side and you right-click, and you go to File Explorer, okay?
Right.
Under File Explorer, you'll see that there's one that's called This PC. It used to be called My Computer, but it's called This PC. When you right-click on that...
That's what happened to my computer.
Yes, yes. Isn't that wonderful that they just renamed it something else?
You know, that's what happens. You get a generation, and they start, they think they know everything, and they change everything.
They made so many problems for themselves they didn't need. So you click on this PC, you go to the very bottom, and it says Properties. And you click on that, and what happens then is it comes up and it tells you what the Windows edition is that you're running.
Okay.
And it's
I see that I have a screen. I went to Control Panel.
Oh, okay.
And I see that I have a screen that says Windows 8, and then it says Windows 8.1 with Bing.
Well, great. You're done. You got it. You have Windows 8.1. I thought that there was an automatic upgrade,
Yeah, I think there was. And what I was thinking of is 8.1 could have been pulled down from the Microsoft Play Store if you wanted
to get
it early.
You could have gone to it that way. Yeah, earlier.
Even when we first just turned it on. I know it was doing all kinds of things. That of course,
yes, it was doing a lot of it was doing a lot of upgrading at that point in time as well. Yes, exactly. Now by the way, how long have you had your Windows 8 machine?
We just set it up last weekend.
Oh, okay. So you're pretty new to the thing. Well, I want to recommend Paul Thurrott's website. It's called winsupersite.com, and that's WinSupersite, winsupersite.com. Paul Thurrott is probably one of the best analysts of Windows. And he, by the way, he's not a fanboy. He will tell you when something is wrong there as well. And he does a weekly show with Leo Laporte.
Okay. I recognize his name from your show.
Yep, exactly. And Leo does a great show. Every week he does one on, it's called Windows Weekly. And there are two experts on there, Mary Beth and Paul Thurrott, who does his section. But anyway, Paul's got a great site. And on there, you will find things like tips on, you know, how to use shortcuts on Windows. Anyway, it's a great resource for anyone who's getting used to Windows 8.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Even if you want to dare to go to Windows 10 preview, which I have done, but in any case, you don't have to necessarily do that. He's got a ton of stuff for Windows 8.1 and all sorts of tips and tricks in there, so it's a great place to go. And the other thing you can do is just simply Google for Windows 8.1 shortcuts, and you'll find articles that have plenty of things on that too. Okay?
Thank you. Is Windows 10 available now, or is that still in the...
Well, it is, and I will just give you this.
It's a pre-beta. I think it's an alpha.
It's beta. Oh,
yeah.
It's
not even beta. It's alpha.
Well, what they tell you is this, and you have to be warned that it is definitely a beta. In other words, there are bugs in it. No questions about it. And they want feedback on what those bugs are. So if you're inclined to put Windows 10 on and put up with a lot of that stuff,
yeah,
then you're okay.
But for a home user, I wouldn't recommend it because you're going to have to uninstall it at some point in the future. You may not be able to upgrade to a full version.
There's a question about that.
Yes.
There's a question about whether, in other words, because they're constantly tweaking it. Like I said, I'm build 2 right now.
Okay.
And there's a question that they may just run this right in and float it in, and you won't have to do the uninstall. But that's neither here nor there.
I don't want to be on the bleeding edge.
No, there you go. That's what I thought.
Where we are.
So there are places around that will help you to make your Windows 8.1 experience much better, okay?
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for calling us, Linda, and thank you all out there for the questions that you have put into us this week. Hey, Ed, let's handle one more from our friend John Humphrey, a friend of mine, who called this week, or rather emailed this week, and had some questions about his computer. Two questions, and one was that he was having a problem with the Windows update, and he was finding all sorts of error codes. Now, you had some thoughts about that for people who are running into that.
Well, first, write down the error codes, and then when you get the error codes, if an update's failed, you get a notification on the right-hand side telling you that a Windows update has failed. Click here for more information. Then it'll ask you, it'll provide a link with the KB or the update name, so the
knowledge base.
Right. So you might want to make a write that note down, what that is, and then it'll have like an error code next to it. Jot that error code down. But the important thing is that there's usually a details or a button that you can, or a link that you can press where it goes out to Microsoft's website and says, and then it'll look up that error code for you. And if Microsoft has a solution to it, it'll provide you, these are the steps that you should take to fix this error.
Are there sometimes, though, when it fails because maybe it doesn't apply to your machine?
No, if it's downloaded to your machine, these security updates apply to the operating system.
Okay, the security updates are different.
Not necessarily to your computer.
Gotcha.
But I have had several instances where these things just fail. So here's some of the tricks I do. First, I do a scan disk on your computer, or check your disk for errors. That takes around 45 minutes. Then I will empty my temporary internet files.
Okay.
And then empty my Windows temp folder.
Now, can you CCleaner for something like that?
I've used CCleaner, which is on the InternetAdvisor.net website under the toolkit.
It's free.
It's free, and it'll clean up your temporary internet files and temp files mm-hmm. and log files. The other thing that, if that fails, I next go to a more drastic solution is under Windows, there is a folder called Software distributions.
Software distributions,
and,
right.
And it's a so it's under Windows, software distributions. That's where all your updates are downloaded to. So imagine that your computer may have went to sleep in the middle of a download of these security updates, or you did a Windows shutdown and Microsoft was downloading those security updates at that time. One of those files may have become corrupted. So what one of the things you can do is, A, you can go to Microsoft's website and just type in that knowledge base number and say, how do I download this Windows update that's failing? I just want to download this update manually and then run it myself. I don't want to run it, you know, using Windows updates. Mm-hmm. I want to download it and execute it and try to install it.
Okay.
That's the first thing I would do after I check for disk errors and empty temporary internet files is I'll try to download it directly from Microsoft and try to run it separately. If that fails, then... You know, where are we going to go from there? I've deleted the contents of my software distributions. Microsoft
You can rename it, can't you?
You can rename it.
There
but
you go.
There are some like steps
bad
to that.
Software distribution or old.
And how I've done that is you power up your computer, you tap F8 or the function 8 key, and you come up in safe mode. That'll allow me to rename that folder. And when you come up, you can reboot your computer back in normal mode, Microsoft will recreate that folder again for you.
I got you. Okay. So that's one of the ways to handle it, kind of sneaky ways around it. Hey, folks, we want to thank you very much for your questions. We'll try to get to more of these this coming week as well. And we look forward. Matter of fact, a very special program coming up this next week. It will be about the cybersecurity events that's going to be happening very soon in Michigan. Ed Riddell, thank you so much, and thank you all for participating here.
You've been listening to a podcast of the Internet Advisors Show, the longest-running, locally-produced computer show in Detroit radio. If you'd like to find out more about our weekly show, ask a question of our experts, or find the show notes for this podcast, visit InternetAdvisor.net. And you'll also find us on Facebook,